last night was debate number two on the GOP ticket. And as I said about 15 minutes ago, that first hour was a verbal war, everyone trying to get their words in quickly. Joining us live right now is Dr. Mitchell McKinney from the University of Akron here at WAKR, Professor of Communications. Dr. McKinney, let's get into it. Last night, the Reagan Library in California, how'd you see this thing?
Well, good morning, Ray. Good to be with you. It was, as you say, a rather raucous 2 hours, first hour particularly. Finally, maybe into that second hour, some of the candidates calmed down a bit. It reminded me of some of those general election debates, that first one we had with Donald Trump and Joe Biden, in terms of just interruptions, talking over, insisting that one was going to get their points in, ignoring the moderators. In that regard, at one point, I think Chris Christie looked at the camera and he said, "Donald, I know you're watching because you can't help yourself." And you know, there were quite a bit more attacks on Donald Trump, the front runner, last night from several of these candidates, not just from Chris Christie. But my thought in that 2 hours, and particularly that first hour, is that former president may, if he was watching, likely was, may have come away thinking, "Well, I'm glad I wasn't on the stage." He actually got the biggest bounce out of the first debate in terms of his polling, and he may think that not showing up, not being a part of that verbal brawl that we saw last night is his path forward.
A couple of things, though, that I thought they centered in on, when I say they, the panel, was Ramaswamy. I thought a lot of the candidates were going right after him to try to slow him down from his opening debate performance.
You know, and he also, I think, changed his strategy a bit. You're right. He continued to take a number of those attacks, as did Nikki Haley, from, you know, particularly Tim Scott, but from others. And so in that vein, we usually see what is perceived as the threats or the front runners. Again, the front runner in this primary race is not on the stage, but others perceived, whether it's Ramaswamy or Haley, having to take several of the attacks. I noticed Ramaswamy last night, unlike the first debate, where he would simply respond and rebut and come back very aggressive, he actually injected at several points in that debate last night tone of humility, that he didn't have all the answers, that he wasn't perhaps the smartest, that that seemed to be a strategy last night with him.
Dr. Mitchell McKinney with us from the University of Akron, looking at debate number two from the GOP last night. You mentioned Nikki Haley, and Dr. McKinney, I thought she was very aggressive last night in all different areas. Talk about her performance.
You know, it is interesting, as you score, if you will, in terms of individual responses. Nikki Haley, while taking attacks, while giving attacks, going on the attack when she needed to be against Ramaswamy, against her fellow South Carolinian Tim Scott, and others, she most frequently stayed on policy point, interjecting a number of policy issues, of suggesting, you know, approaches that she would take as president, whether that was in the international arena, whether that was on domestic policy. And that, I think, distinguished her in that first debate. You know, many people came away from that first debate saying, "Wow, this is a serious candidate," and she continues to perform in that manner.
With us is Dr. Mitchell McKinney from the University of Akron. Chris Christie, as you mentioned, he is one of the candidates who has been very aggressive to the former president, Donald Trump. And I thought Ron DeSantis did as well last night. And you and I talked after the first debate how there was question marks on why they didn't be more aggressive about going after Donald Trump. I thought last night the needle pointed more in that direction, especially from DeSantis and Christie.
Right. You're absolutely right. We heard multiple folks, DeSantis and Christie, at one point, Tim Scott made a somewhat indirect but also questioning Donald Trump's absence and others. So we saw that happen. You know, it was interesting in that first debate. It seemed the strategy was he's not here. We're going to ignore him. We're largely going to ignore him, except Christie. That didn't happen last night. And I think as we get closer and closer to vote day, where that first vote will be in early January, these candidates are beginning to, and also see the polls, as I said, coming after that first debate, Donald Trump's standing overall in polls increased. So I believe what we're seeing is a number of these other candidates realizing, okay, we can't ignore him. We've got to take him on head on, challenge him, question his, you know, Christie did it in a way that somehow suggesting Donald Trump was afraid and was hiding from the people and from his fellow candidates. And so taking him on in a more direct fashion, we likely will see that in the next 2 to 3 months. Again, whether or not former President Trump makes the assessment that it is ever to his advantage to show up, thus far, that has not been the case. And I don't know that that's going to change. We perhaps, once voting begins early next year, we could perhaps see him willing to join the debate stage. But so far, it really isn't to his advantage.
How about the former Vice President Mike Pence last night? I thought he stayed on the issues, in particular, attacking the Biden administration instead of going after Donald Trump like some of the others did.
He did, and I think you may recall at one point it was Dana Perino, the moderator, at one point in the introductions said something to the effect, and on the flank and on the, you know, the end and introducing, and there was Mike Pence. And I think his debate style really did not match that debate last night. In many ways, when he had his moments, his few moments, it was rather subdued. He did not necessarily join in the aggressive attacks and calling out and interrupting and trying to interject himself. And overall, my assessment of Pence's debate performance was one of sort of a diminishing, not, as I say, in any way aggressive, again, staying on point, interjecting policy. Quite often he would refer to what we did, again, joining himself with Donald Trump and our administration. But certainly not inserting himself in any way that would suggest, oh, this may be a challenger or a front runner in this field of candidates.
Dr. McKinney, let me ask you this as we wrap it up. Was there a winner in last night's debate in California?
It is hard. I don't think that we certainly did not see anyone damage themselves in terms of a stumble or fall. I would suggest, again, perhaps Nikki Haley continued to build her credibility in that debate. DeSantis did not provide any really breakout moment. Again, he didn't hurt himself. We may come out of this second debate as we watch the dynamics of this race, and as we, I think, many, you know, after the assessments of the first debate that Donald Trump really was the winner, he may continue his dominance in this race, and nothing happened last night to sort of dislodge that.
Dr. McKinney, let me ask you this, because you've been involved in debate history, talked about it, witnessed it throughout most of your career. Explain to all of us the Donald Trump strategy of staying off the debate floors, at least here at the beginning part of this run towards 2020-24.
Right. Well, in many ways, it's all about control, and not just Donald Trump, but political candidates in general like to try to maintain as much control of the message, of the dynamics as possible. And on a debate stage, you give up control. You give up control to the questioners, the journalists. You don't know what's coming your way. You then give up control in terms of the other candidates. You don't know what sort of charges are going to be coming your way from other candidates, and you're literally on the spot. How will you respond? In so many ways, that's not the context. That's not the environment that I think Donald Trump feels comfortable in. It's not one of his rallies. It's not one of his shows where he is in complete control. And so the fact that some of these candidates are going after him. Again, we saw a little bit more of that last night. It really does not seem to damage him that much, as opposed to the risk that he would take showing up. Now, perhaps once this field gets smaller, and when that happens, as voting begins, then there may be more of a pressure, more demand of, okay, Iowans, you're voting, New Hampshire, you're voting, South Carolina, you're voting, we're going to have a debate. Donald Trump is in the state campaigning, and will he show up to those debates? We may see his calculation change as we get closer to vote day early in next January. But thus far, you know, in some ways, as a strategist, why would he risk? Why would he put himself in that environment?
Understood. Dr. McKinney, thank you so much. Good observations coming out of the debate in California, and I'll stay in touch with you as these continue to unfold, and the next one is scheduled for the month of November, so hopefully we'll be able to schedule you with some more insight into that debate. Thank you, Dr. McKinney.
Thank you, Ray.